Okay, so I think you all know that today was scheduled to be the day of my ordination as the senior pastor of this church. However, we're not going to do that. About a week ago, I was struggling with it a little bit, you know, just listening to my spirit. There was not total peace in it. Wasn't sure why, so just getting before the Lord on that. And anyhow, a week ago I decided to kind of reduce it to a commissioning as opposed to ordination. And the difference there is really, a commissioning is kind of like an engagement period, and then you go to the official ceremony of the ordination. And I felt much better about it. Instantly, when I made that decision, I felt much better about it. And I was like, okay, I had a lot more peace, but it wasn't 100%. So I was just dealing with that and trying to figure that out. So I wrestled with that for a while. And then bottom line is, I realized what was going on was, it was some of it was just from other people saying some things to me, which helped. You know, I have a boy brain, can't help that. This is where, guys, it's really good when you have a wife, listen to her. Because they do think more circumspectly than we do. We're very goal-oriented, go, you know. I feel 100% the conviction of God on me to do this, and that's great. That's done. The senior leadership of this church is 100% unanimously in agreement. So we've already gone through the process, the official process of it, and that part's done. So I'm like, okay, then let's go. And this is where the boy brain part kicks in. And what I've realized, I believe, was my hesitation is that even though I feel confident about it, and even though the support of the senior leadership there is for it, and we've done it, it doesn't mean the congregation has had the time to process that whole thing. And so just out of respect to you, I've decided just to put off the commissioning, because to me this is very much, it's not so unlike a marriage ceremony where it takes both parties to say, I do. And so I just want to give you time to really process this transition of the senior pastor, and just for you to really come to that place where you can say for yourself, I believe this is of God and not of man, and I believe God has called me to remain here under this leadership, so that then when we do the commissioning, we do this as a unified body, and you can say yes and amen to it. And if you find that you don't find that, you don't have that, then that's really important to get a hold of that so that you can, with peace and joy and blessing, move on and find that shepherd that God has called you to be under. It's really important that you do that. So, for that reason, I don't want to do it right now. I just want to give you time to really think it through, go through the transition yourself, process yourself, and make your decision how you feel about it. Do you feel like God is calling you to stay here, to remain here under this change of leadership? And then we will have that day. I don't know when. Just, I'm not in any hurry at all. So, you know, 2 months from now, 3 months from now is kind of what I'm thinking right now. Just somewhere down the road, we'll do it. I think part of the reason I wanted to do it right now is while Joshua and Natalie are here, I wanted to do it with them. But, you know, I spoke to Joshua about it, and he blesses the decision, and he's like, you know, he'll come back, you know, down the road if I want him to that day to pray over me and bless me and pass the baton, so to speak, with your agreement. So hopefully that makes sense. I am going to continue on. I will be the senior pastor. There's no questions. It's more for you. It's just for you to decide, is this for you? Are you going to stay here? Do you believe God has called you to remain here? So I just want to give you the time before we make that official as a congregation. Amen? So with that said, let's enjoy one last time of this most incredible, beautiful gift that is on the founding pastor of this church, Joshua Weir. Amen.
So I just want to say this before I open up. I just really appreciate Brad's heart. It would have been easy because, you know, I like how he's saying boy brain. It is easy just to say, here's the goal. We're going to go after it. And it would have been, it would have just been simple just to kind of do the deal and do the commissioning and move on. And And in some ways, maybe cleaner, like simpler and just done, and we can move forward. But I don't think it's as gracious and as considerate and loving of the whole body. And so when Brad brought it up to me, I was like, man, I think it's awesome. So appreciate your heart, Brad, and I think it's really good for this body. And I, you know, in worship, I leaned over to Andy. I don't see him, but and I just said, man, just walking in, just seeing. You know, there's a little greeting team of about four people. I didn't know one of them. I don't mean to offend you if maybe you've been here before I left, but I don't think you were. Or maybe you were, but, you know, you were really new. But didn't know one of the people. And they were just sweet. And it's just like, and maybe they didn't even know who me and my family were. They're like, hey, welcome, you know. And but it was really cool seeing these bright faces, sweet people greeting us as we came in and not knowing them. And then in worship... I know you introduced yourself to me last week, but just seeing the new man up here. What is it? Christopher. Just seeing Christopher just belted out was awesome. And just your presence was great. And, and then just I've connected with a couple of you. A couple of you came up to me last week just to, just to encourage me and, you know, bless me. But you're newer. And there's just some really sweet folks that God has brought into this body just even the last 3 months. And there's just a sweet thing that God's doing here. So I just wanted to say that. And so praise God. Well, as I was, you know, because originally the message was going to be around the commissioning and all that kind of stuff, and then we decided to change that. And so I was like, okay, this is like my last message. But it's not going to be the commissioning, which would be the natural last message. So what's the last message going to be? And so I had two criteria. Criteria one is it had to be something that was alive in me, like something that God is, it's a present word for me. And what I mean by that is something that, there's lots of things I could talk about that are somewhat alive, hopefully. But I want it to be something that is right now God is doing a deep work in that area in me, and that I could kind of, from that, break a piece of that off and give away, if that makes sense. The second thing is, I wanted it to be something that you could get 10,000 miles out of it, and it's still not, you still haven't worn it out. Meaning, I mean, there's lots of good stuff, right? I mean, there's so many teachings and so much stuff on the internet and on the TV and whatever, you know. There's a lot of good stuff out there, but there are some things that are just like foundational core things that you, if you get them, man, they're beautiful. So I believe this is one of those. And it's about forgiveness. It's on the issue of forgiveness. And it doesn't, I think a lot of times the core things in the scripture, the core things that Jesus talked about and that the apostles talked about, a lot of times don't get a lot of press because they're just not that sexy. You know what I mean? Like, let's talk about, you know, I don't want to say other things because it might offend some people. But, you know, there's a lot of other things that we can talk about that people really get jazzed about. When we go to the issues like forgiveness, it's like, oh, yeah, I get it. Forgiveness, that's like, let's move on to deeper, more important, bigger things. And I just want to say, if you can get this, if you can get forgiveness and understand how to walk in forgiveness, and I'm titling it Learning Forgiveness because I think we need to learn it and relearn it, and learn it again, and learn it again, and learn it again. And the reason is because we're not actually made, like in our natural DNA, we're not made to be hurt. Do you know that? Think about what I just said. Like you weren't made to be hurt. You weren't created with a capacity to be hurt. What I mean by that is we were created in God's original design to be in relationship that was perfect with Him and with each other. And so when you're hurt, it does something in you that you weren't designed to be able to handle. And it's only by the grace and the presence of God that you can actually handle it. But we forget that, and we'll get that for a season or a month or a year or a decade even. But then we'll enter into new relationships or new situations in which we get hurt. And layer upon layer, and wall upon wall, and shield upon shield, and brick upon brick, we don't even realize it. We get guarded and jaded and shielded and cynical and distant and disconnected and all of this stuff. So that's why I'm calling it Learning forgiveness, because I think it's something that, well, let me just tell you this. Probably, I mean, definitely 10 years ago, but probably 5 years ago, if you would have, you know, asked me about forgiveness and asked me, you know, is there anyone I need to forgive? Am I walking in forgiveness? I would have said, absolutely. And you could have poked and you could have prodded. And I'm going to poke and prod, by the way, because probably half of you in the room right now be like, I'm good with forgiveness. And I can guarantee you just about every one of you isn't. I'm just telling you, and I'm going to prod in a way that'll probably help you. Oh, wow. Forgiveness or unforgiveness is, other words for it would be anger, resentment, bitterness, a sense of distancing in your heart from that person. Do you understand that someone could have wronged you and you don't have to distance your heart from them? Now, you don't necessarily have to put yourself in the same situation if they're really abusive, but you don't have to have your heart guarded, distant from them. That's our own self-protection. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but... So 5-10 years ago, I literally, I'd hear messages. I remember one message. I remember this. I was actually at, it's weird how you can be listening to a message and you can remember where you were when you're listening to the message. Anyone else can do that? Like, I mean, this was like 10 years ago, maybe 9. I was at the YMCA downtown and I was walking, I was finishing my workout, going down the steps, and Mike Bickle was his name. And he was just going off about forgiveness and how it's such a big deal. And he was, you know, trying to prod the listener. And I honestly couldn't think of a single person that I had resentment towards or bitterness at or any kind of, not a single person. I was like, and I remember that was like normal for me. Well, several months ago, God began to sort of process of revealing to me that I've got some real unforgiveness. Now, when I say unforgiveness, it's not like I hate that person. I'm thinking about ways of, you know, blowing up their house. And, you know, I mean, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about in my heart, when I think about running into them at the store, it's an uncomfortable feeling. When I think about them, what doesn't automatically come to mind is, Father, bless them. Now, I may do that as an act of obedience, but what comes up is my gut tightens, you know, my stomach tightens. I just feel uncomfortable. I would rather for sure avoid them if they're going to be at an event that I know we're both going to be at. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? I have about a list of about 20. I mean, the Lord just started saying, you know, just started writing them down. It's like, oh my gosh. And so I haven't, 2 months ago is when he started working on me. Because Nally and I were at an event at a pastor's retreat. And a guy named Tad Blackburn, who I owe a lot of this message to, and I asked his permission. He said, man, go for it. And I've got a printout I'm going to have you take if you want. And he made it. So, but he talked about it, and the Holy Spirit just began to drill me. It's like, wow, I've really got some issues here that I've got to deal with. And so that's kind of my just personal, I'm working this out. In fact, you can't read it from there, so that's good. This is the handout. It's called The Path to Forgiveness, and it's an 8-step, you just kind of walk through how to forgive someone. And it's a multi-step, meaning 8 steps, and it's a repeatable, usually it necessitates repeating the process for an individual, or if you're like me, I have a list of individuals. You can't read that, right? I have a list of individuals, and I'm putting a check mark next to them when I walk through the whole process with that person. And then I'm going to keep going back to that person until there is nothing left. Do you understand that? Do you understand what I mean? There's nothing left. There is nothing in my heart towards that person other than love and grace and mercy and tenderness and openness, you know? Well, I've got a list of, and now it doesn't look like 20, but several of those have multiple people in the name, right? So it's 20 people. Now, that might be, oh, well, cool, you work on that, Joshua. Well, what I'm realizing, and it's causing major problems. Now, I wouldn't have told you major problems 2 months ago, but what I'm realizing is the effect of unforgiveness is so significant and yet so subtle. It's so subtle. The nature of sin is deceptive, right? The nature of sin is you don't know you're actually engaging in it. That's the whole point. That's why we need each other. Do not forsake gathering together. Brad was quoting from that in that whole section, saying that we're susceptible to deception. And so we need one another to not like, I'm going to call you out. No, to lovingly come alongside of each other and speak to each other and encourage each other on. man, unforgiveness is one of those really, really deceptive and often knowingly we've stepped into it. And so I'm going to unpack it. And in classic form, good, I've got about 30 minutes. In classic form, I have two messages that I'm going to give you in one message. So I'm going to give you too much. I already know that. I've just gotten over that. But here's an interesting thing is I've already put in my calendar, and 6 months from now, I'm going to email Brad specifically, but also the kind of the core leadership of the Village Vineyard. And I'm going to email him this message, and I'm going to email him this little handout. And here's the reason why. It's so easy. I wish someone would have grilled this into me of the importance and significance of walking a life of forgiveness. It is so essential. And when you get into leadership, it becomes 10 times more essential because you become the object of people's unforgiveness. They don't know that they've made you their object, but you become that. And so the issues that they have not dealt with in their previous relationships get pointed and directed at you. And it's really, really painful. And it's if you're not walking in forgiveness, you begin taking a step back. Subtle. You don't even notice it. You take another step back. But literally, you don't notice it until you step back here. You say, why do I feel so distant from so many people? Why do I feel like I'm not as close and open and trusting and loving and caring as I used to be? Well, because you took about 800 minuscule steps in response to the hurt. And this isn't just if you're a leader in a church. This is any kind of, if you're in relationship for any longer than, I don't know, 2 weeks, you experience this, maybe sometimes subtly and other times dramatically. How many of you in this room have been deep, and raise your hand, have been deeply hurt by somebody? Okay. So do it again. Raise your hand, and if you're keeping your hand down, it means you haven't. Raise your hand if you have been deeply hurt by somebody. Okay. So it's virtually almost every person. I would say 95%. Now, raise your hand if you have deeply hurt somebody. Okay. It's a lot harder. Now, that's good. I'm surprised. It's a good job. That's great. It's a lot more difficult. We are hardwired to pick up the offenses and the hurts done to us like it's, you know, we got a magnifying glass and that stuff. And the offenses and hurts we give to others, we, you know, often don't even notice. Jesus says it best, right? Why do you focus and see and look at the what? Speck, almost plank, speck in your brother, sister, friend, father, spouse, boss. Why do we look at the speck in their eye and all the while miss and don't take care of the plank in our own eye? And he's just speaking to our tendency to notice the offenses that other people bring against us and so don't notice the offenses and hurts we bring to other people. With the end in mind, like where I would love to give you vision for is imagine there's an organization called Edge Venture. It's a men's retreat weekend, really powerful. And one of the things they'll do, they do all these experientials, and one of the things they'll do is you stand and you'll look at each in the circle, however big the circle is, 10 guys, 25 guys, and you'll look at each person in the eye, each man. And what you have to be able to say is, I am clean and I am clear with you. And you have to say it to each man. I am clean and clear with you. Until you can go all the way around the circle and do that with every person. It's pretty intense because everybody can't do that. And so you end up work it out right there live. And it's really powerful. But I remember what it felt like to be clean and clear with every person on the planet. I remember what it felt like. And I want that again. There's a purity that comes with that. There's a softness of heart. There's an openness to the presence of God. Now I spend a considerable amount of time with God on a regular basis. So I'm not like, I haven't like walked away from God. I spend a lot of time with God. But I'm telling you that my heart is not as soft and as responsive and as open to God as it once was. I just know. And about 2 months ago, 3 months ago, I began talking to the Lord. Just kind of like, Lord, what? Like, we have a good relationship, and I hear your voice, and I feel your presence. But it's not the way it was. It's not the way that I believe that it's supposed to be. And he's beginning to speak to me. That's when he just started unpacking. This whole thing of unforgiveness, when we step back, and we step back, and we begin to guard and shield and protect our own hearts, and it affects everything. Every relationship on the planet and heavenly speaking. I mean, it affects all of it. And so I am committed. I'm just saying to you personally, I am committed. I'm going to work through that list until I am clean and clear with every person on the planet. Every person in my close sphere and beyond, I'm going to be clean and clear. And I know that I can be because the Scripture promises it. And I've lived in that place before. And I've listened to the testimonies of people who've been through way, way worse than me, who have nothing but grace and love and mercy to the people that hurt them. Right? And sometimes I feel like I'm just a wussy, you know? And I know I'm not. Well, I kind of am, actually, but in some ways. But we're all wussies, kind of. But I sometimes feel like a wussy when I think about these other people that I know who've walked through way bigger hurts and walk in love and grace and tenderness. I'm going to get there. And I believe that every one of us in this room can. And I'm going to give you all kinds of tools. In fact, on the website, there's the little blog. If you go there, I only printed off 20 in the back because it's double-sided and I just want to burn out my toner. But on the website, you can actually click it and download it onto your computer. And it's that thing. It's called The Path to Forgiveness. If you, by the end of this message, if you're convinced that this is something, A, that you have an issue with, and B, that it's significant and you get enough vision to, man, I want to go after this. On the website, you can click and download it for yourself and have it and print it off and put it in your Bible or however you do that. But so the vision is that you would be someone, that I would be someone that has no issues with anybody. Doesn't mean that I don't, you know, reorient the way I relate with Billy or Betty or, you know, I might reorient the way I relate with them, but my heart is soft towards them. My heart is open towards them. Proverbs 4:23 says this, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." When we think about the abundant life, because we live in the Western world, we often immediately go to big car, big house, big, whatever, right? That's the abundant life. I just want to tell you this, the abundant life is all rooted in the heart. The abundant life is found in the heart and can be experienced on the backside of the, you know, desert and wherever, or in a mansion in Beverly Hills. It doesn't actually make any difference because the abundance of life comes from the heart. And all through the Scripture, it says, guard your heart. Not guard, like shield it from people. Protect it. Understand how fragile the human heart is. Protect it. Take care of it. This whole thing of forgiveness is one of those key areas. And you want to root that out. I just want to say that most of us in this room need this right now. Like, you need this message right now because there are people in your life right now. I mean, I don't have to like dial in for you. You are already dialed in. You know the person or the people. I mean, it's like clear. Some of you, I'm going to do a little bit of prodding and you're like, oh yeah, you know. So, but most of you in this room need this whole idea of how to forgive now, but every one of you will need it. If you don't need it yet, you will. You know why? And this is going to sound like, you know, jaded Joshua, but it's not coming out of a jaded place. You will be betrayed. You will have people stab you in the back. You just will. You will have people that hurt you and harm you and don't even know they are. You will have many people who hurt you and harm you and actually ask for forgiveness and understand it and see it, but you'll have people who hurt you and harm you and never will. And I just want to, if you've not been told that, I'm not saying that to be a doomsayer. I'm just saying that is the way it is. Read through the entire account of any person through the Scripture, and you will find, and I didn't do it like every single person, but I mean, give me somebody. Give me a name, and I can show you that they were betrayed. I mean, Jesus would be the ultimate one, right? And Jesus picked Judas, the Son of God. I mean, each of these men, though. I mean, you could say Paul, and who knows what went on between Paul and Barnabas, but one of them, probably both of them, felt betrayed by the other. I mean, Joseph, come on. I mean, each of these, Moses, David. I mean, every one of these people, betrayal. Why? Because we are a broken people who are desperately in need of Christ, who are in process working this stuff out. And as we're working it out, we wound and hurt and sin against each other. And that's just the way it is. The question isn't, are you going to be sinned against? Are you going to be hurt? That's not the question. The question is, when and how are you going to deal with it? How are you going to respond to it? Joseph, man of God, over and over and over again, was sinned against and wronged. I mean, no way to say it other than wronged. And yet you can see that he didn't get bitter. Hebrews speaks of be weary, that you don't allow a root of bitterness to grow up and defile many and miss the grace of God. Now I'm telling you, when people hurt you, the opportunity is only two opportunities. Opportunity one is to distance, a.k.a. get bitter and more guarded. Opportunity two is to allow the Lord to meet you in that pain, and you get stronger and more whole and more loving. That's what's crazy about it, is as people hurt you, you can actually become more loving if you encounter Christ in it. I'm just going to barrel you with a lot of scriptures on forgiveness just real quick, just so you see the significance of it, that I'm not just kind of like on a you know, hobby horse, whatever that's called. Here we go. So I'm just going to go through them real fast. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. And just listen to the significance that Christ and the Scriptures put on forgiveness. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Now, if you didn't catch that, he's going to restate it in a way that you can't miss. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Are you serious? Jesus, are you serious? He is dead serious. If we don't forgive people their sins, the Father says he will not forgive us. Now again, I'm gonna poke to help you see what does it mean to forgive? It means there is nothing in your heart against that person anymore. You could walk up to that person, and again, if it's an abusive person who's going to, you know, do something and really, then that's a different story, and you need to stay out of their presence. But when you think of them, you can actually think thoughts of kindness and love and grace towards them with no sense of, oh, pull back, nothing. There is nothing in your heart towards them but love and grace. Hebrews 12, 15, see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God. I kind of quoted this, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. I'm telling you, our unforgiveness defiles not just ourselves, but so many people around us. Why is gossip so rampant? It's the fruit of it's a defiling act that's rooted in bitterness, that's connected to not dealing with an issue with this particular person or these particular people. Matthew 18, 20 through 22. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Now, what's interesting is, if you know the history, the Pharisees, they did have a requirement of how many times you forgive someone. Any guesses on how many? Many people say three, so 3 to 7. Well, what does that mean? It means after that, done. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I, and I believe most of you, operate more like a Pharisee. What's that crazy thing? Do it to me once, shame on you. Do it to me twice, shame on you. How does that go? Yeah, shame on me. Hello? I mean, that's Pharisee through and through. I'll let you hurt me once. But twice? No way. You know? Twice and I'm a fool. No. Graham Cook, if any of you know Graham Cook, I won't say it exactly how he says it, but I love the heart of it. He just said, I decided long ago that I could either be naive and get hurt by a lot of people, or I could be wise in a worldly sense, guarded and not be hurt, but have my heart totally shut down. And he said, I decided long ago just to be naive, just to be naive and allow people to hurt me. And he says, you know what? I've been stabbed in the back. This is kind of his little funny line. I've been stabbed in the back so many times, I look like Swiss cheese. But this is him. I'm kind of paraphrasing. I choose that every time. Why? Because that's the path. Jesus declared it, and I always kind of spiritualized it when he said, if I was treated this way, so will you be. I always spiritualize it in this sense. Well, of course, when I'm on the, you know, when I'm preaching Jesus to Billy and Betty and they reject me, oh, that's just, no. Yes, it includes that. But he was betrayed and hurt and misunderstood by his own brothers. Do you not think you and I will be as well? Mark 11:25, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything, kind of covers it all. If you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. Unforgiveness will hinder your prayer life. Not just getting things prayer life, it will hinder that, but also just your intimacy. Luke 6:37-38, do not judge or you will not be, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you, a good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Man, I want to get the big measuring out again. I've become really, really, I just have a little teeny, you know, tablespoon or something. I wanted to say, I want to have so much grace for people. With all that I've been through, you know, I'm just like, oh man, Lord, I don't want to have judgment towards people. I don't want to like justify my resistance or anger, or I don't want to justify any of it anymore, Lord. I just want to let go of all of it. With the measure you use, it'll be measured back to you. Matthew 18:34-35 is probably the scariest, in my opinion, the scariest parable in the Scripture. The whole parable is about the servant who is forgiven by the master. Then that servant who is forgiven doesn't forgive his own servant. And this is the very end of the whole parable. And it says this. In anger, his master turned him over, him being the servant who didn't forgive his own servant. In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from the heart. Excuse me? I mean, I still can't fully wrap my head around that, but I know it's true. And I know the torment that I am in. Now, again, it's a strong word, and I would never tell you that I'm in torment. But if you find yourself thinking about an individual more than, like, several times a week, like, I think that's way over the top, but like me, at least on that list, if I were to show you this list, I think about one of those individuals at least once a day. Hello? Torment. That's torment. Having to, like, walk myself out of feeling certain things, that's torment. And that's the stuff that I'm aware of. Unforgiveness has, I mean, you talk to doctors and psychiatrists and the effects that unforgiveness has on our basic physiology, our mental capacity, our physical bodies. I mean, the level of anxiety and stress and the ways that our body will break down in weird ways as a result of unforgiveness, bitterness and anger and resistance and protection. It says, we got to get it out because it's poison and it's killing us. And we're looking to go on to bigger and better things and do things for the kingdom and, you know, make disciples and do wonderful things. We've got unforgiveness as we got to get it out. Mark 11:25, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, I kind of read that already, but it's another one. 2 Corinthians 2:10-11, and this will be the last one. If you forgive anyone, I also forgive him. This is Paul speaking about a guy who did some really jacked up stuff. And what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. What are his schemes? Ephesians 5, or 5 goes right into it, speaking about, if in your anger, do not sin, and do not let the sun go down on your anger. Now, it's not speaking of a literal, well, if the sun goes down, I better run, find that dude. No, it's not about that. It's not about the literal sun. It's about, are you engaging and dealing with the issues with that particular person that you're angry with? It doesn't say, don't be angry. It says, in your anger, do not sin. It is angering to be hurt by somebody. It does produce anger. What do you do with your anger? That's the issue. If you don't do well with it, as Paul says in Ephesians 5, guess what happens? You give the devil a foothold. What's a foothold? It's a place for him to climb into your life and just start pounding you in the face over and over and over and over again. And you're like, you can bind all you want. You can pray all you want. You can do all the things you want to do, but until you deal with the unforgiveness and anger and resentment and guardedness and shieldedness, until you deal with that, you will have a stronghold of the enemy and he will just wreak havoc on your life. Amen? All right. Message 2. So, how do you avoid these scriptures? Because I do. Like, these scriptures are off the charts. Are they not? I mean, am I the only one here? Like, I'm reading these. I'm like, this is off the charts. Like, the Father will treat you in the same way that the Father won't forgive me unless I forgive my brother. Not like, oh, I forgive him. No. Forgive your brother from your heart. We are kings and queens of minimizing and, oh, it's fine. No, it's not. The way that person treated you is wrong. So what are you going to do about it? Oh, it's fine. No, it's not. You need to forgive your brother from your heart. Your father, your boss, your pastor, your spouse, you got to forgive him from your heart. Your roommate, your teacher. You got to forgive him from the heart. What does that mean? You got to do some work. You got to work at this thing. How do we avoid these scriptures? I mean, I think there's a dozen ways. One is we minimize and sterilize. We minimize, oh, not a big deal, and we sterilize it. Really funny, I was in the car with my daughter the other night, and I was talking about a relationship that I was having some trouble with, here's the way I said it. I said, we're not having the, it's not the greatest of times. And she laughed. I mean, she read through it. I was like totally spinning it, you know? She's like, not the greatest? I was like, yeah, you're right, it kind of sucks. And I don't like using that word. I said, that's the only time it's appropriate to use that word, Taylor. You know, but we do, we sterilize it, we kind of reframe it, we minimize it, or we stuff it. We just stuff it. We just push it down. Guess what? You're not made to hold it. And so it will come out in some weird, wacky way. Physically, mentally, psychologically, kicking your dog when you walk in the door, you know, have no idea why you're a follower of Jesus. You just gave the bird to somebody, you know, who just cut you off. I mean, do things like that, right? It's because you're not made to stuff it. And we justify. We just justify. We justify our own actions. We justify other people's actions. We just justify. Oh, it's fine. You know, we're really bad at this. We don't like to call our stuff sin, like what we've done. And we don't like to call it, we have all these different words we attach to things. Let me give you a couple quick things, signs of unforgiveness. You're finding yourself somewhat blocked with God. There's gradients of this. I'm not saying you've walked away from God. I'm saying your heart, like my own testimony. Like, I spend time virtually every day just quiet, communing with the Father. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, just loving on God, letting Him love on me. Right? But there is a block, not from God to me, from me to God. That's a fruit of unforgiveness. Other fruit, absence of basic trust. You just find yourself struggling to trust most people. You just find yourself always a little bit with just about everybody. I came to that realization about a year ago. I was like, dude, I like don't trust many people. It was really weird. Because I haven't always been like that. And I was like, I'm having trouble trusting lingering anxiety. You just find that you have anxiety, like just just lingering. It's kind of like not a moment, but it's kind of like you wake up and you go to bed. It's kind of there. You have a pervasive fear. You're just kind of, generally, you're kind of fearful. Anxious and fearful go together. You tend to have a victim orientation. Unforgiveness, if you hold on to it, bitterness and resentment, you'll tend to start having a victim orientation, a blame orientation. Everything is because he, she, they, them. And you tend to get really, really myopic, really, really unable to kind of see your own stuff, but really able to see other people's stuff. There's lots of others. Pain, you tend to rehearse it in your head. What happened? You rehearse it. You tend to isolate, right? I was telling you about, I found myself in the back corner. I didn't even realize it. You'll tend to kind of pull back relationally. On and on and on, on. A lot more. There's a website called thehealingschool.org. And man, I am going to burn through this so fast, way faster than you can probably hear it fully. But these are signs of unforgiveness. You can go to thehealingschool.org if you want to kind of read through these any more in depth. Number one, do you continue to feel the need to be separated from the person? You don't want to talk to the person. If you were in their presence, you kind of keep your distance. Number two, do you continue to make accusation against that person? Just even in your own heart, assuming the worst. You kind of blame the person for the hurt that you have inside. You speak to the person and you kind of, there's enough there. Number three, are you constantly involved in strife and bringing about division? Either with that relationship or in other relationships. You are short with that person. When they talk to you, you can't really engage with them. Number four, do you have a lack of compassion for the person who offended you? That's a hard one, guys. Especially for some of you who have been deeply wounded, who have been really wronged. I mean, that's hard. Are you operating in ungodliness? I mean, maybe you're blaming God, or you generally are just distancing yourself from the Word of God because that's a sign. Check yourself. You may have the other things. I can't read all this stuff. Again, go to the website and the list will out. Number six, last one. Are you having feelings of discouragement, disappointment, dejection, despair? You know, different clinics that deal primarily with depression will say, and it depends on the clinic, will say 75 to upwards of 95% of people who are struggling with depression, significant depression, they call it frozen rage. That's all it is. It's anger that hasn't been dealt with, which is rooted in unforgiveness. They've been really harmed, either through a traumatic event or just through subtle things over time. Sometimes that's even more painful, but they haven't dealt with it. And so the unforgiveness turns into anger. Anger, they don't really know how to deal with the Lord. And so it ends up getting frozen, frozen rage, and it turns in on itself, depression. So, that was from Terry Wardle. To be honest, I can't remember where.
The other side is healingschool.org.
Yeah, go there. Maybe they'll talk to you about that. What forgiveness? So here we go. So I'm going to roll through really fast the rest. Again, I'm sorry too much here, but a big chunk of this is going to be on the website as far as the written part. Let me tell you what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is unconditional. It's not if you, if they, when she, when he. It's unconditional. Because I hear people say, well, when they, I'm just like, first of all, when they do whatever they do, guess what? You still have a lot of work to do. My dad, if many of you know my dad, he did some really just jacked up things in my upbringing. He was jacked up. He wasn't following Jesus, did a lot of messed up things. Man, for years, he came to Christ, and for years he said, forgive me. I have the privilege of having a father who's owning it, right? Many of you don't. It's an incredible privilege. But let me tell you this. That didn't take care of it. Son, will you forgive me? Yes, Dad. I would say yes, and I'd admit it. I still had to do the work myself, though. I still had to do the deep work in my own heart of, like, talking to the Lord and really going, like, there are some areas I wasn't even aware of that I had to still do. Is this making sense? I still had to do the work. So for us to say, well, once they apologize to me for what they did, then, man, you are totally out to lunch. You still have to do the work. And will it make it easier? Sure, it's better than the person still aiming the gun at you, yes. But either way, you've got to have it be unconditional. Number two, forgiveness isn't minimizing or denying what they did was wrong. Forgiveness isn't like, oh, it wasn't that big of a deal. They slammed my face with their fist, figuratively speaking or literally. But it's not minimizing. In fact, it's the opposite. It's calling it sin. It's calling it wrong. Did Jesus minimize what you and I did? Did the Father minimize your sin? I think not. The Father said, your sin is so significant that I'm going to send my own Son to the cross to pay the price. He called it what it was, sin. He didn't minimize your stuff or mine. We can't minimize their stuff. Because when we do, we're not actually forgiving it. Does that make sense? Third, forgiveness is resuming relationship, but with change. Forgiveness isn't, I'm never going to be in a relationship with them. I can almost guarantee, not every time. Again, there are those examples where the person really is, you know, Hitler incarnate. You know, I mean, there really is that. Yeah, don't re-engage in a relationship with Hitler or Hitler's brother or cousins. And I'm not saying that to minimize, but I'm telling you, we justify our stuff. Re-engage in a relationship. Just adjust. I had a buddy who I had to adjust with. I had to tell him he did something hurtful, and we had to work through it. And I had to tell him, dude, you got to give me your word on a couple things. You know, we had to work through some things because there was a major hurt. And I called it what it was, and he repented of it, and we walked through it. But I didn't just, oh, no big deal. No, we dealt with it, and we walked it through. Forgiveness isn't forgetting. Now, you may forget. There is a grace for some people. They just kind of forget. I would just caution you. Sometimes it's actually denial, not forgetting. Forgiveness isn't forgetting. Forgiveness is releasing the pain and the anger and the resentment. Forgiveness is responding to evil with good. Forgiveness is when you know you've forgiven, when you really, really want to see the person blessed. That's when you know you've arrived. And there is an arrival. When you say, I want Billy and Betty and Bobby, I want them blessed. And it's not just, oh, bless them, Lord. It's not fake and it's real. Where you really want them blessed. Forgiveness is when you can, and this is hard, forgiveness is when you can understand the hurt behind their sin. Not excusing the sin, but where you can understand, wow, he or she has been hurt in some significant ways to do what they did to me. Wow. And you have compassion for it. You don't excuse the sin, but you have compassion and mercy. Do we not need the same ourselves? Do we not need the same from God and from others? Yes. Last, forgiveness requires repeating the process over and over. And there's lots of processes. I mean, this is just one 8-step little deal. But you got to repeat it over and over. And some people you don't. There's different levels of offense and hurt, right? Some, you know, someone slams on the brakes in front of you, and you got to slam on your brakes, and then they flip you the bird. I mean, that's an offense. And depending on how well you've been dealing with your other offenses, you can get over that pretty quickly. Depending on how you haven't been getting over your other offenses and unforgiveness, you won't deal with that quickly. But that should be dealt with relatively soon, relatively quick. Oh, Father, Lord, that's pretty blessing. I forgive him for that. Whatever it is, you may not even need to. It's so easy. As a testimony, yesterday I had one of my subcontractors just kind of go a little crazy on me. And they had this job, and basically they didn't do it right. And I was getting called from the boss of that job, and the guy just bailed. And he said, I'm done, and he blamed me for it. I'm like, dude, I've never even been to the job. How are you blaming me for the job not going well? It was just really silly. But he was being really just irrational, and I didn't care. Like, it didn't bother me. In fact, he sent me a weird text, and I texted him back, said, man, have a great day with your son, and be blessed. And I'm in it. I was like, Yeah, you know, like one of those. Like, praise God. Like, and what I mean by that is, and I haven't arrived. I promise you, there's a long list here. But as I'm working this out, like actively working it out, there's less. Dude, a week ago probably, maybe 2 weeks ago, I don't know, I would have lit this guy up, and I would have fired him. And, you know, I mean, I would have done a lot of things, right? Didn't have to do any of that. Less in me to react to the stuff in him. Let me say this. Jesus says 70 times 7. I don't think he was just being allegorical or just, you know, I think he was literally speaking and emphasizing a principle. So 70 times 7 is what? 490. Okay? The idea is you will have to process through with some people. I mean, 490 isn't like the magic number, but dozens and dozens and dozens of times to get to a place where you've really forgiven them. I think we are way too easy. I mean, honestly, this list, if you'd asked me a year ago, I would have said, I forgave them. Hello? There's multiple layers of forgiveness. There's multiple depths of needing to forgive. This whole thing of Jesus saying 70 times 7, I think he's just emphasizing, man, we're going to have to work at this. We're going to have to go after this. We're going to have to lean in if we really want to forgive from the heart. So I'm going to end with giving you the 8 steps here. Again, I'm just going to read them real fast. You can have them. I made 20 copies on the back. Only take it if you're like, man, I want to go for this. Only grab one if you're hungry for that. And if you're not, or if you are hungry, but you can also don't have a problem printing off your computer, wait till you get home, go on the internet, do that. 8 quick steps. First, you got to acknowledge your pain of the offense to God, not to the person, to God. Father, it hurts so bad when he did. Father, I can't believe you. Just pour out your heart. Do what David did all through the Psalms. Pour out your heart to God. Your buddy, you know, it's like okay as long as that buddy doesn't know your buddy you're going off on. But that's not where the healing is going to happen. The healing happens when you're Godward in it. Number one, acknowledge your pain and distress to God. Number two, confess your sin. Confess your sinful response to the pain. As a result of being sinned against, I have distanced, I have guarded, I have, you know, told them off. Whatever you've done, confess that the sinful actions you've taken. Number three, choose to forgive the person. Operative word being choose. It's not an emotional thing. Hello? Did you hear that? Forgiveness is not an emotional thing. It can be emotional, but it's not rooted in your emotions. It's rooted in your will of choosing to forgive. And this is a promise I can make. I've experienced it. I'm going to experience it. Where it starts in the will, it'll end in the heart. What you start with is an act of, I'm going to choose to forgive Billy and Betty for what they did and be specific about it. Oh, just all the ways. No, specific. How they did this. And forgive it specifically. And just choose, even if everything in you is saying, no, no, do it. And as you continue to do it, and do it 70 times 7, guess what will happen? Your heart will, it's so painful. Again, I'm speaking like from experience, present. It's so painful, but the Lord is getting the stuff that's in you, the poison, all the stuff. He's getting it out. The bitterness, the resentment, the anger, the depression, the whatever, all of it that's connected. He's getting it out. That's why it's so painful. If you didn't have all that, it wouldn't be that difficult to forgive. It just wouldn't be. Caleb, what are you doing? Hopefully that's not a wounding experience. So number three is choose to forgive the person. You guys caught that one? Choose. Number four, declare you release the person from judgment you placed on them. There's something so powerful about releasing. Hey, Caleb. Mommy's out there. So either sit down or go find mommy. Thank you. Releasing the judgments that you have on people. I have a powerful experience. Again, when God starts dealing with me about 2 months ago on this. I forgave a particular person about a specific thing, and I released, I was doing this, and I released them from these judgments. It's like, wow, I've got all these judgments against this person. Do you realize we can bind people up by our judgments? Who knows that? You can bind the person in your life to the very judgments you're judging them with. Jesus is very clear on that. So I released them, and this individual did the very thing, like the positive side of it, that I was releasing them from that I hadn't seen them do, like really ever. And it was within an hour of having this prayer time with God, releasing them from the judgment, and that person did the very thing that I was judging them for never doing. Does that make sense? It was crazy. I was like, oh my gosh, this actually works, God. Four, so release them from the judgments. Five, and again, I'm giving you way too much. I understand that, and you're not going to remember all this, but I have it printed out and all that. Five, ask God to forgive them. God, forgive them for what they did. Six, invite God's Spirit to cleanse you from all the stuff. And ask God to bless the person. Number seven, and finally, eight, invite the Spirit to release you from the bondage, strongholds of the enemy that you've given doorways to, et cetera, et cetera. That's it. Stand up. So here's how we're going to end. We're going to take about 10, worship team can come up, just end with a song or whatever, but 10 seconds, just 10 seconds of you thinking through, do I have a person or persons, and you're not going to do it here because you can't do it here. I'm not going to, do an injustice to you by making there be like, oh, you can have a forgiveness transaction right now and just be finished with that particular person who wounded you deeply and you've been working on that for years or festering for years. No. The only thing you can do today is make a decision that you're going to begin the process of forgiving them and ask for the grace of God to be able to do it. That's what you can do today. So I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. 10 seconds of just silence, of just maybe then playing a little bit. Lord, is there anybody? Second is I'm going to have you publicly, just by show of hands, both hands, acknowledge, yes, I've got someone or someones that I need to forgive. And you're going to just simply acknowledge it like this because there's something about publicly doing it that's humiliating, humbling, that opens you up to more of the grace of God. Humble yourself before the Lord, that His grace might come upon you. Grace comes to the humble. And then I want to have you if you're raising your hand, hopefully that means you're going to work at forgiving that person. But I want you, again, this may sound weird, but it helps. I want you to visualize either working through this sheet or some other practical thing you have of I'm going to work through these 8 steps or 5 steps or whatever you have with that person. I'm going to do it either in the mornings when I wake up or at night or before I go to bed. But visualize yourself doing it because they've shown that it kind of does, it'll increase your chances of actually doing it like tenfold. Oh, tithe. So, go ahead and, Father, thank you for the blessing of being able to give. Thank you for the grace of giving. And Lord, I pray as we give today, there would be even a release from not just our checkbooks, but from our hearts, that we would not hold on to our stuff and both good and bad, that we would release unto you. I just pray even by faith, we'd release unto you as we give financially. We'd also release unto you all the things that we're holding on to. Just by faith. I know, Father, we can't do it in a second, but Father, by faith, we're not going to hold on to stuff anymore. Would you bless the tithe? Would you bless the giving today? In Jesus' name, amen. So let's do it. Just about 10 seconds. And just see if the Lord brings someone to mind. And many of you, God's already brought someone to mind. Some of you, it's many people. But just about 10 seconds. Father, I pray that you would speak to each person here. Okay. you have someone that you, not just, okay, I'm going to change this up. Not just that you're aware of you need to forgive, but you are saying, you know what? I'm going to work this out. I'm going to do the 70 times 7. I'm going to get rid of all unforgiveness in my heart towards the individual, towards the people. I'm not doing this just to demonstrate. This is live for me. If you've got someone you know or someone's that you need to forgive, raise both your hands just as an acknowledgement. So with your hands raised, thank you, Father. With your hands raised, I just want you to just humor me, if nothing else. Just visualize yourself, you know, maybe sitting at your bedside or at your coffee table, wherever it would be. And walking through it with the Lord. The Father wants to extend grace to you. The Father wants to walk with you through the pain. He wants to release such a supernatural grace upon you to be able to release the hurts, to release the offense, to release the bitterness, that you wouldn't be in bondage anymore to it. So just visualize yourself wherever it is. Maybe you have a special place. You have time with the Lord. Just envision sitting there and either printing off the thing that I have online or doing your own deal. But something that's relatively systematic where you can deal with the full range of your heart with this individual or with these people. And I just want to pray grace on you right now. Father, pour out grace. Pour out grace. Pour out grace. Pour out grace upon your sons. Pour out grace upon your daughters to forgive. Pour out grace to release resentment. Pour out grace to release bitterness. All of the anger. Oh, Father, pour out grace. It's only by your grace that we can do it. So I and we are asking, give us grace. 70 times 7 grace, Lord. Until our hearts are clean. Until our hearts are pure. Until there's no offense in us. Oh, Father, cleanse us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Be blessed. Love you. Have a great Sunday.